fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek, sitting in for Jeff Cavins today, who is taking a little bit of R&R.
He is. Well, I'm excited to be back with you, Paul, and today we have a great show, but first, I would like to mention again, because we cannot express the importance of this enough, our big Rediscover Catholic celebration is coming up the beginning of October.
And the time is creeping up.
It is. It's already, you know, halfway through August almost, and it's the beginning of October. We're talking October 3rd and 4th.
Right. Big evening at the Minneapolis Convention Center on Friday, and that's for young adults, but anyone 18 or over is welcome to join in, featuring Father Stan Fortuna, Father Mike Schmitz, along with Marie Miller and Father Dave Dwyer of Busted Halo. Now, I'm not familiar with Father Dave, but I'm told that he's very entertaining.
I've heard that, too. I've checked him out a little bit on YouTube or at his website, and so I'm excited to see him. He brings a lot of energy, which will be good for the young folk.
Now, on Saturday, October 4th, that's a day for everybody, and Scott Hahn is the featured speaker, along with Jeff Cavins, Leah Darrow, and Archbishop Paul Coakley, along with programs for children, youth, breakout sessions, offering special opportunities for Latinos, men, women, and grandparents.
And the grandparents, too. There's a special track for that.
One just for me.
Well, and let's remember that last year's celebration sold out, so please don't miss out this year. Get your tickets today. A reminder, you can go to rediscover-faith.org under the events tab, or you can go to relevantradio.com and visit the events tab and select Minnesota, and you can get to the right link that way. Also, there is a hotline for those that would prefer to just call in with any questions or to register. Call 651-291-4411. Again, that number for the Rediscover Catholic Celebration hotline. It is 651-291-4411.
And the tickets are very reasonably priced. I don't have the numbers right here.
$20.
Something
a person
like that.
Or something like that.
You'll find out when you check it out. But do check that out now, because last year the event sold out and you don't want to miss out this year.
That's right. Now today, coming up, we are going to be talking about Totus Tuus and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Some great topics today. And starting out, we'll begin with Totus Tuus. And Paul, do you know a lot about this?
I don't know a lot about Totus Tuus. That's why we're going to do the interview. Nancy Schulte Palachek works in the Office of Marriage and Family Life with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And Father Troy Prisbilla is the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Good morning to both of you. Thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, tell us a little bit about what Totus Tuus is, either one of you.
The basics.
Sure. Totus Tuus is a theme from John Paul II, which means totally yours. We did a Totus Tuus summer catechetical program in the Archdiocese this year. We served 11 parishes. It is complete now, and this is a follow-up retreat for all those kids and other kids who would like to join in. See what your vocation is. So it's a vocations retreat that we're actually doing this next Saturday at St. John Vianney for young men and the St. Paul Seminary for young women. So again, it's a follow-up from our Totus Tuus summer catechetical program that was hosted within our parishes in the Archdiocese.
What age range does Totus Tuus cover?
Well, the actual summer catechetical program covers first grade through 12th grade. So there's two tracks. There's an elementary track in the morning from 9 to 2:30 each day, Monday through Friday. And then the junior senior high group is from 7:30 to 9:45 Sunday through Thursday evening. So it really is pulling in those older kids and helping them discern what their vocation is. And that's really the whole essence, you know, besides the catechetical piece of this, is what the Totus Tuus program is all about. So this retreat, actually, next Saturday, is for 12 to 17-year-old young men and women.
Okay. And tell us about the treat. And what the Daughter of God is for women.
And correct. Yeah.
What do you focus on? I mean, beyond vocation discernment.
Yeah.
Like
we're actually really focusing on prayer and, you know, God as our Father.
Uh-huh.
Kind of is our theme for the retreat this year. Adoration will be our big focus. We're going to have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament with the Eucharistic procession, where we actually bring the monstrance with our Blessed Lord to each individual girl. Father Brian Park is going to lead the women in that. And it's going to be a very moving experience for each individual girl. And during that time, the Sacrament of Reconciliation will also be offered.
What do you hope that they gain from this? What's the end here, result, that you're hoping that these young girls walk out with?
Yeah, you know, I think our big emphasis is just that they recognize and how to be open to the person on the other side of prayer.
Okay.
Responding to that love that the Father has for each of them individually.
Is there a specific kind of prayer that is encouraged on this retreat? Contemplative, verbal, mental? Anybody there?
Yes.
Okay, Father, pick it up for us.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, no, Nancy's there. Okay. Father, pick this up. What specific kinds of prayer are encouraged on these retreats?
You know, it's just a variety. You know, for example, with the men, we have Mass, and, you know, we'll have opportunity for them just to pray with, you know, with seminarians, but also just to realize that, you know, other people are developing this relationship with God. I don't think that there's any one specific kind of spirit or type of prayer that we're emphasizing. It's just, as Nancy said, to try to foster them with an encounter with our Lord.
And who, again, will be speakers at the event, I guess, for the girls and for the boys? Can you tell us about those people that will be talking?
Sure. For the girls, we have two religious orders, the Pro Ecclesia Sancta Order from Peru. They're located at St. Mark's Parish in St. Paul, and the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia from Nashville, Tennessee, and they're located at St. Croix Catholic School in Stillwater.
Yeah.
And both of those orders are going to kind of lead our retreats, and we will have young college-age women also do some breakout sessions. And so we'll divide our girls into young, you know, specific age groups, and they'll have some more focused conversations.
On retreats like this, for both the young men and the young women, is it mostly people who feel that they may already be called to a religious or priestly vocation? And I'll let both of you answer that. Nancy?
Sure. I think for us anyway, it's really just finding your vocation. You know, vocation, there's the Roman Catholicism recognizes marriage, single life, religious and ordained life as the four major vocations. And I think for us, what we're focusing on is just to help those girls discern what their vocation is. It may not be religious life, it may not be married life, but it's, you know, how do you discern that? So that's what our focus is.
Father Prisbilla, do you find a lot of young men who already feel called to the priesthood making such a retreat?
Yes, yeah, but at the same time, the people that come on the retreat are not necessarily, you know, feeling called, you know, to the priesthood. I mean, it's just a time for them to come and check out the seminary. I mean, one of the things that I find with guys who are discerning a priestly vocation is that there's a lot of ambiguity, a lot of questions. They don't really know what it's like to be in the seminary. They don't know what seminarians are really like. Everybody has these misconceptions, and so this is kind of an opportunity for them to meet seminarians, to have to kind of just have some fun, you know, with them. We'll be playing out on the football field in Ultimate Frisbee. The seminarians will be out there. We'll have speakers who are seminarians and, you know, at various stages in their formation. So they get to hear from them, you know, their own discernment. And I think what they will find in doing that is that, you know what, they're not very different than these seminarians. That,
uh-huh.
you know, they have the same questions. They have, you know, they had the same hopes and dreams for their life. And, you know, all of a sudden God breaks in and causes them to have to start wondering, okay, what do I want to do with my life? And I think the essence of that is prayer. As when we open ourselves up to prayer and we begin to speak to our Lord and we want to truly follow Him, that's when that discernment starts. And so if you can foster that in any way, I think that's that's what vocations, that's what my role as a vocations director is.
Mm-hmm. Even at such a young age, I mean, 12 seems so young to sort of be thinking about anything like that, but I guess it's a great introduction to possibilities for them.
Yeah, I always tell people, I say, you know, the best question that you can ask is, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you can start asking that, or parents can start encouraging their kids
sure.
to start asking that question, or even to ask God themselves, what do you want of my child? And I think that's where we're going to find our truest sense of happiness and fulfillment in this life, is if we're doing what God wants us to be doing.
Well, let me play devil's advocate a little bit. Are young people still choosing to become sisters and priests?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, this past year, for example, you know, with all of the things that have been going on in our archdiocese, I've just been blown away by the programs that we have in our diocese for vocations and how many have come. I think, you know, in my short time as vocations director, 3.5 years, I've had record numbers of young men come to these events, as well as young women coming to the events that I've had for discernment. So God is still powerfully working despite everything that's going on, and He's calling young men, and there are young men who are, this year, for example, I have the highest number of guys entering St. John Vianney, and many of them right out of high school.
Wow.
So young men who are willing to give up the so-called best years of their life
uh-huh.
to discern this. And so, I mean, it's really a hopeful,
powerful and very hopeful, yeah.
Yeah, hopeful sign that God is working in through all of this, and He's calling young men to serve in His church and to give their entire lives to Him and to their brothers and sisters.
And Father Prisbilla, could you explain to me what's the difference between a diocesan priest and a priest that's with a religious order?
Well, the difference is that a diocesan priest serves in the diocese,
mm-hmm.
and a religious order serves for that religious order.
Okay.
By being a priest in a religious order, serves in that religious order. So, you know, wherever that house is, you know, the religious order priest can be sent, you know, anywhere, depending upon where their order is located in the world.
Uh-huh.
That they can be sent anywhere in the world, where a diocesan priest stays in the diocese.
And they have to decide that, you know, when, and they're in the process. Is that a decision they make, or does someone make that for them, or how does that work?
No, it's a decision that they make, and, you know, usually, you know, people are called to that, and, you know, I talk to guys about that when they're discerning, you know, what are you feeling called to? Are you feeling called to diocesan priesthood, religious life? Many of them don't really know the difference.
Sure.
And a lot of that discernment happens in their formation.
Yeah.
In their, you know,
okay.
they get spiritual direction every 2 weeks. They have a spiritual director, they meet with them. And they can kind of, you know, they can talk to this spiritual director, this priest, you know, about what God is doing in their heart, you know, where God is leading them. So, I mean, I know men who've left the seminary, and they've went off to pursue religious life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, so it's a good opportunity for them to discern that, you know, that vocation within a vocation, you know, to kind of, what is my
specific,
you know, okay, I feel called to the priesthood, but do I feel called to priesthood or diocesan or to religious?
Right.
Not to muddy the waters, but there is often some very healthy and positive cooperation between dioceses and religious orders, is there not?
Well, definitely, and I'm benefiting from one of them right now. I'm staying at the Franciscan Brothers of Peace at their spirituality center right now, so I'm looking out in the, up in the North Woods. There's a lot of... That's one benefit, no, but I'm... There is a lot of collaboration. I mean, we have multiple religious orders serving here in our archdiocese, serving in parishes.
And what is your role... you know, as vocation director, is that the title? Director of vocations, what else do you do besides these retreats? Just answer questions? Do you hold other sort of meetings, informative meetings?
Yeah, what I do is, so my main is just interacting with people who respond to the office, maybe to by email or call, whatever it may be, and I follow up with people, work with the processing of a candidate. For example, the screening of candidates. So a man will come to me and they'll be interested in the priesthood, and we begin the process of an application process, which involves psychological examinations, and so it's a very extensive process that that I work with these men on, and so that carries on from, you know, that as soon as they start, and it could be, you know, three months long, you know, of this, you know, the screening process.
Nancy, let's get back to the term vocation. We touched on it a bit earlier. We are all called by God in one way or another. Explain to me a little bit more the hidden meaning of vocation. And are young men and women familiar with this?
Well, I'm not sure if they all are, but that's why we have these retreats.
Sure.
You know, really, the word vocation is a Latin word, and it means a call or summons. So what's your calling in life? So I think it's good to make these young men and women aware that there is several vocations, because, of course, the one that they're probably most used to is married life. But there is, you know, single life. There's consecrated virgins that we have here in our archdiocese. I'm not sure how many, but that is a woman who has chosen not to become a nun and live her life for the Lord. So there's, you know, lots of different vocations that they can be called to, and it's good to get them accustomed to those at an early age so they can fully discern what their call is in life.
Father? Anything to add on that?
Yes, what was the question again?
Vocation. The deeper meaning of the word vocation.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, with young people who are discerning the vocation and how they, you know, I don't expect a person to completely understand, you know, what a vocation is, much less what all of the vocations are. I mean, I don't even think I know all of the vocations, you know, that are, you know, all the different various forms of life, of, you know, consecrated life. And there are so many, and that's the beauty of the church, is that, you know, people can live this out in a very unique, you can live out a call in a unique way. And it's just a matter of, I think, the young person, going back to that retreat and what the focus is of this retreat, is not, you have to figure it out. And I think that's the one thing that I try to emphasize. You don't have to figure it out. God will lead you, and you just have to be at peace and just pray and don't worry and just let God follow you and lead you. And that's how God led me. You know, I think I, you know, if you want to know my vocation story, just read the book of Jonah. And I mean, God led me through so many different ways. But ultimately, it was in the Adoration Chapel where God just convicted my heart and drew me to Himself, just like a magnet, and just helped me to desire this. And that, I think, is if we spend that time with our Lord, He is going to draw us and to that vocation, you know, which is drawing us to Himself. Because I think our vocation is our path to holiness; it's our path to heaven, you know.
Let's get back to the event itself, which is coming up on Saturday, August 16th. Give us some of the details, what's provided, and...
how to register if you need to.
Yeah, Father, do you want to take that, or should I?
Why don't you take that?
Okay, sounds good. So the event is, again, Saturday, August 16th. It's from 9 a.m. to 2:30. The Vocations Day for Young Men is at St. John Vianney Seminary, and then simultaneously the Daughters of God Retreat for Young Women will be at the St. Paul Seminary. So we're really trying to, you know, help the families that have young men and women in their homes. They can drop the young men off and come on over to drop their daughters off at the Young Women Retreat. It's free of charge. Lunch will be provided. And it's just going to be a great day of going deeper into their faith, into their prayer life. And I just encourage, you know, all young people from 12 to 17 to register and come and spend the time with these priests and seminarians and the sisters and college-age kids to kind of just enlighten their hearts.
So they need to pre-register, but it is free. And were walk-ins accepted, or...?
You know, of course, walk-ins are always accepted.
Wonderful.
If they want to register, the registration does close next Wednesday, and that's just really for a food count.
Okay.
We want to make sure that we have enough
sure.
food for everyone. But the registration address is events.archstm.org /TTVocationsDay2014. A lot to write down right now. So if they just go to the Archdiocesan website.
Right, in events tab.
Exactly.
Look for the date and they'll find it. Okay.
Yep. Perfect.
Nancy Schulte Polacek and Father Troy Prisabilla, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Rediscover Hour.
Wonderful. You're so welcome. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. God bless.
And if you'd like to find out some more about that Totus Tuus Vocation Retreat, call 651-335-5769. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Our guest will be Father Michael Becker. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambeau, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
You are the sun, shining down on everyone. Light of the world, giving light to everything I see. Beauty so bright.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek sitting in for Jeff Cavins this morning.
And I'm Corey Regan, and we are now going to dive right into the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which
that's a big topic.
I'm really interested in this, and we are joined today with Father Michael Becker to discuss this with us. Hello, Father Becker.
Good morning.
Thanks
Corey
for
and Paul. Good morning.
Thank you for being with us and talking with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and this Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
First, who's Father Michael Becker? Who is this guy?
Well, thank you very much. I grew up in St. Cloud. I am the oldest of three children. I went to St. Thomas University in the 1980s. I was ordained a priest in 1999. I am a member of a local fraternity of priests called Companions of Christ, and we do celebrate the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. I am presently the rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary at the University of St. Thomas.
For a while, you were the pastor at St. Michael, and I always used to say, it's Father Michael from St. Michael and St. Michael.
That's right, and that was a great joy. I would have stayed there for life if I could have. But, you know, that was two saints and one who's not, right?
There we go. Okay. All right. So tell us about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. This is such a broad topic. A lot of people just have no exposure to it and want to know, what is it?
That's
anyway?
Me. I've heard of it, and that's about it.
Well, indeed. We want and should pray that more and more Catholics become aware of it, because it's just rich in grace and joy, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And, yeah, it's all about the Holy Spirit, a gift to us and from the Father and the Son who comes to dwell in us and sometimes raises up in us gifts, ordinary and extraordinary, to build up the body of Christ. And so there is a movement that is, it's crossing denominations, so many people of other Christian faith traditions have also experienced the Holy Spirit, in terms of the Charismatic Renewal, but there in every diocese there is an office called the Charismatic Renewal Office, and they are under the authority of the bishop, and they are intending to promote in that diocese amongst the faithful an experience of what's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the celebration of the charisms of the Holy Spirit. And that is also here in this archdiocese. In fact, I think it's tomorrow, August 9th, there's a major event being put on by the Charismatic Renewal Office here. And anyone could go to the website to figure that out. But, there are prayer groups around the Archdiocese, some parishes like St. Paul's and Ham Lake, which considers itself to be pretty much an entirely Catholic charismatic community. And there are other lay movements in the church and priests that are part of the Charismatic Renewal. So essentially, it's celebrating the Holy Spirit. It's making people aware of and offering the experience of what's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then also celebrating the charisms of the Holy Spirit. And that's all meant to build up the body of Christ.
Now, you mentioned that there's an office of the archdiocese. So this is really something that the church encourages and keeps its eye on, is it not?
Absolutely, yes, the church does encourage it. We've received some positive statements from recent popes, Paul VI and John Paul II, Cardinal Ratzinger, before he was Pope Vatican II, has a clear statement on it, which is also found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And maybe I could just read a little statement of that for you, huh?
Please do.
All right, so Vatican II says, quote, "Whether these charisms be very remarkable or more simply and widely diffused, they are to be received with thanksgiving and consolation, since they are fitting and useful for the needs of the church. Extraordinary gifts are not to be rashly desired, nor is it from them that the fruits of apostolic labors are to be presumptuously expected. Those who have charge over the church should judge the genuine and proper use of these gifts." And so,
examples of gifts of these charisms?
Yeah, Scripture has a number of places where different gifts are listed. So in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, we have what Catholics typically know, gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord. And those we often talk about at confirmation, young people when they're confirmed. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit, and by the way, 7 is the number of gifts listed there. 7 is a number for perfection in Scripture, so it really implies all the perfection in the gifts. But then in Galatians, we have the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. But in 1 Corinthians 12, we have what are called the charismatic gifts. And that would begin right around verse 4 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone." And it goes on to talk about wisdom, prophecy, speaking in tongues, working of miracles, healing, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits. There are 9 charisms listed here in 1 Corinthians 12. And these charisms are meant for the building up of the body of Christ. So they're not necessarily for the personal sanctification of the individual, but they help the overall body to grow in holiness.
Talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is meant by that?
Right. Well, baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that we should be promoting more and more. Jesus himself says, and at times it's said of him, that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 5. So, speaking in a prophetic measure that the apostles would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we see that at Pentecost. Now, there's a baptism in water. There's also, if you will, a baptism in fire, which is a purification of the soul. But in between, there's this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that usually occurs with the laying on of hands and the prayers by other Christians over an individual, and from within, there is a beautiful awakening and experience of the Holy Spirit, the presence. In my own life, this began for me when I was 21 and I was prayed over, and it felt like I had a fountain within me that was suddenly turned on and gushing. And so I knew that the Holy Spirit was real and I could never doubt God again. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is from the inside, usually with the laying on of hands. And I think for the person who ardently desires and seeks, you know, you have to come with that desire for it, prayers for it. And in that moment, then God will either in a major way or maybe slowly over time awaken the power of his presence within. I think for a lot of people who just have a daily habit of prayer, and if they give this half hour to God every day, in time that prayer, God kind of makes it more affective. He gives them a grace to have affective prayer where they begin to sense and feel the presence of God more distinctly. Well, in the charismatic renewal, that happens in a prayer setting when someone's praying over another person. And again, on the inside, this experience opens up. And it's life-changing, and it's very empowering. So the apostles were in the upper room in fear. They didn't want to go around Jerusalem. Their master and leader had died, and their life was threatened. But when he came and breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, they broke down the doors, and they went out and preached with tremendous courage and zeal. And, you know, distinct changes happen for a person who's baptized in the Holy Spirit. They thirst for more of it. And they want to share it. Jesus said, you know, the woman in the well, if you had asked, he would give you living waters. So, beautiful gift to all of us.
Now, what is the charismata at the University of St. Thomas? Did I say that right, charismata?
You're close.
You can go ahead and correct me, and then tell me about what that is. Is it just a group that of charismatic renewal college-age students that get together, or...
Right. Well, it's pronounced charismata.
Okay. I was way off.
I never would have guessed.
Charismata.
You got to get back to your Greek, Paul.
I'm sorry. I just did not even get anywhere close. Anyway.
It was fairly close. Charismata, actually, charis in Greek means gift or grace.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Gift or grace. And mata is like a plural signification. So in our English words, we have, you know, a house or houses, right? Or chairs, car, cars. So charis is grace, and mata makes it plural, so charismata is gifts or
graces. Graces, okay.
And at St. Thomas last year we had, on the second Friday of the month, prayer evening beginning at 7:30 in the UST Chapel called Charismata. And we had 100, 150 young people, college students, coming. And what we would do is we would sing songs and praise God, which is typical in the charismatic renewal. And then if people felt like they had a kind of scripture or some message that God might want to intend for all the people, they could come forward and share that at the microphone.
Tell us a little bit about that, the history of the charismatic renewal. As an organized movement, it seems like it's fairly recent, but the gifts themselves go all the way back to apostolic times, do they not?
Absolutely. Good point, Paul. So the early church was all of charismatic, sacramental, liturgical, hierarchical, and there are all sorts of gifts for all of these areas in the church. So we have our seven sacraments, which give us the sanctifying grace, the gift that enables us to really become holy, okay? And that takes a primer place, okay? We have the hierarchical gifts, which gives us apostles and teachers and so on. And then we have charismatic gifts, all seen right there in the early church when people began to speak in tongues at Pentecost or in other places, where they began to prophesy, where, you know, St. Paul says in Corinthians, seek all of these gifts, right? And then he goes on to say, in the greatest gifts especially, faith, hope, and love. But the early church, the apostolic church, had the gifts. At different times, I think in centuries, the gifts may have been downplayed, but we've always seen them, especially in our great saints. So all the
Teresa of Avila is a classic example.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she doesn't use the term charismatic, but if you read her, that's what she's describing sometimes.
Right, she has visions, she's levitating. There are saints who've raised people from the dead. I think it's St. Vincent Ferrer raised 27 people from the dead. So we've always had in the church the charisms, and mostly we've seen it especially in the saints, the holiest of individuals. But the charismatic renewal boldly proclaims that these charisms are not just for the holiest saints, but for all people, the laity and the ordained alike. And I think there was an initial impactful moment here in the United States at Duquesne University in the 1960s, where a number of lay Catholics were on retreat and began to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the charisms, speaking in tongues and so on in a profound way. And from there, it's kind of lit up across North America and throughout the world. And there are millions of Catholic charismatics today. When I was at World Youth Day in Brazil summer a year ago, I noticed how many Catholic charismatics were actually leading the service, the mass, singing in the choir and so on for the Pope at World Youth Day. It was beautiful. One might even go back to, you know, Pope John the 23rd made a bold prayer at Vatican II. He prayed for a new Pentecost, that the doors would be open. And that is part of the renewal, the answering of God to that prayer. But we could go back even to a special saint in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Blessed Elena Guerra, who wrote 13 letters to Pope Leo XIII asking for an increased devotion to the Holy Spirit throughout the Church. And Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical, Divinum Illud Munus, based on her inspiration, which is on the Holy Spirit. She wanted the world to pray the Veni Creator Spiritus as much as they pray the Ave Maria. So as much as we pray and ask intercession of our Mother Mary with our Hail Marys, we should say, Come Holy Spirit too. And so that could be, in a major way, part of the shift in the inspiration of the modern charismatic renewal is Pope 13th responding to Blessed Elena Guerra and promoting a devotion to the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Protestant world, in a Pentecostal world, many of them would say that Azusa Street in like 1906 was a significant moment where some individuals again began to speak in tongues and to prophesy and so on. But again, for Catholics in this nation, we would look towards Duquesne in 1967-ish.
In the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, where can we find out some more about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal?
Well, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office has a website. They are, if you call the Chancery, of course, 651-291-4400, you could ask them to ask the secretary to transfer you to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office, or you could just go to the internet and look it up on the web. Again, I think they have a beautiful event tomorrow or this Saturday.
Right.
And so anybody would be invited to sign up for that. There is going to be another event October 17th to the 19th, which is called the School of the Charisms. That will be here at St. Thomas, and information about that is also on the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office website. So that will take people through the gifts and teaching of the charisms and maybe some practicum on how to celebrate them.
Father Michael Becker, always fun to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us
this morning. Thank you both, Paul and Corey. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
And if you want a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life, we've got an event to tell you about in just a minute. You are listening to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. The image of Our Lady with the Child Jesus in Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome is known simply as Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people. Legend has it that the image was painted by Luke the Evangelist on the wood of the table of the Last Supper. Whatever its origin, Pope St. Gregory the Great had it processed through Rome in the 6th century to end an outbreak of the plague. Pope St. Pius V had it processed through Rome in the 16th century to pray for victory at the decisive naval battle of Lepanto. In August, it left Santa Maria Maggiore again, this time for Pope Francis' prayer vigil for peace at St. Peter's.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Glory be to the Father. Glory, glory, His glory give praise.
Glory. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek, sitting in for Jeff Cavins today. Sister Nancy Keller is a member of the charismatic community. and a member of a charismatic order, the Sisters of Charity in Scarsdale, New York. She has an extensive teaching ministry and has spoken at conferences and given retreats in over 50 countries. She's a national leader in the charismatic renewal, having served in various capacities in the Archdiocese of New York, the National Service Committee for the Charismatic Renewal, the North American Ecumenical Charismatic Committee, and the International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Service. Sister Nancy Keller, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
Such a mouthful, all the things you've been involved in. Tell us a little bit about this event that's coming up tomorrow, Saturday, August 9th, called, what's it called? The Lavish Gifts of God.
Yes.
It's a rally, right?
Yes, it's a rally, and they've asked me particularly to focus on the grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's one talk, and then to do a talk on the charisms and the release of the charisms of the Holy Spirit. And then there'll be a third talk on going forth and missioning evangelization.
Well, we were just talking with Father Michael Becker about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Give us your take on what that means.
Well, I think the best way for me to do that is to give you a little bit of my own personal witness.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Love to hear that.
I guess I represent one group in the charismatic renewal, that is people who would have grown up, as I did, in a traditional Catholic family with a Catholic parish, Catholic grammar school and high school. After a bit of a struggle with vocation and saying, oh, no, Lord, my sister Peggy, she's going to be the nun, I finally resisted and I entered the Sisters of Charity of New York in 1960. Well, you know that date means that I entered just before everything began to change in the church with the Second Vatican Council. And I was very happy as a novice and as a young sister. Sometimes you hear people tell these stories about how terrible their novitiate was. I was immediately very happy and felt this is where I belong. Around the late 60s, I don't know if you remember, but there was a lot of an exodus from religious life.
I remember.
The doors were opened and some people left the congregation, just to take my own, who probably should have left. Maybe they entered for the wrong reason or they discovered while they were there it just wasn't for them. Others, I think, were looking for something more and left because they were looking for something more. I was like that. When I made my final vows in 1968, and at that point, so many of the young women that I had entered with were leaving.
Uh-huh.
And everything in my heart was saying, you know, there's got to be something more. It was a time when there was a lot of teaching in terms of relativism. You know, if it's relevant and meaningful, it's real. And I struggled with that. There was a great emphasis on a mission. Our work was our prayer, etc. And something in me was saying, if there isn't a personal relationship with Jesus at the heart of religious life, then it simply doesn't make any sense. So I was on the verge of leaving my congregation because I was looking for something more than what I was receiving as a young sister in the teachings I was giving, being given. By the grace of God and the mercy of God, I was invited to go away to the first charismatic house of prayer in the world and in this country, which was in New York, under the direction of a priest now in eternity, Father Jim Ferry. On the course of the weekend, I remember Friday night, Father Jim Ferry asked the question that I often ask, have you had a personal experience of Pentecost? And I had to honestly say that for me, the Holy Spirit was the third person of the Blessed Trinity, a vague notion out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed to the Holy Spirit before examinations in school and when we were making a big decision. But when he taught us about Pentecost and the first Pentecost, and said, have you had an experience of Pentecost? I had to honestly say no. What I remembered about my confirmation was that I was going to be slapped in the face by the bishop. Remember that? I was going to be made a soldier of Christ when the communists invaded. It was in the 50s. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
But the charisms of as experienced in the early church, I heard of the Isaiah, what we now call the spiritual or Isaiah gifts, but I had never heard of the charismatic gifts that are obvious at Pentecost. And so my attitude was, if this is more of God, I want it. I need it. And that's important. My first weekend raised my expectancy, and I think the charismatic renewal is a lot about bringing people to a new expectancy of the Holy Spirit and the Pentecost in their life. I went away, I went back to that house of prayer the following month, and I was at my very first prayer meeting, and Father Jim, you know, put a chair out in the middle, and he said, someone is supposed to be prayed with to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember feeling like I had been kind of raised up off my chair and put in that chair. And I prayed for the release of the Holy Spirit. And that was the word at the time that made a lot of sense to me. I read a book, a little pamphlet called Being Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it said, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a release of the Holy Spirit such that we experience all that God promised of the Holy Spirit. And so that day, that evening, I said, Lord, I want to pray for a release of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, I think our understanding of baptism and the Holy Spirit had a lot to do with the sacraments of initiation, baptism and then confirmation.
Sure.
The sense that the graces of the baptism and confirmation were dormant in us. They were there, but they hadn't been released.
Okay.
And so I prayed for that release. I can honestly say for that at that moment, the first experience I had was just peace. It was no big high.
Uh-huh.
It was a quiet. Sometimes people think the charismatic renewal is about emotional people or being emotional.
Uh-huh.
My first experience was peace. I went to bed that night, got up the next morning, and it's interesting, my first experience of renewal was in the sacrament of penance. I sought out Father Jim the next morning, wanted to repent and confess my sins. And it was a renewal of that sacrament. On the course of the weekend, I was urged to read the Acts of the Apostles. And, you know, from my age, I'm 74 now, we didn't read the scriptures. We were kind of, you know, told to wait for somebody else to interpret it for us.
I was kind of discouraged, wasn't
it? Yes, we were. And so I read it, and my heart just burned. It was like the words were jumping off the page. I said, I never read this before. But, uh-huh, of course, I had, but now it was different. Another experience was I wanted to praise God. When I first went to the house of prayer, and they used to praise out loud, praise you, Jesus, I was very uncomfortable with that. You know, I thought we were supposed to go to our room and pray in quiet.
Silent, right.
And then we were supposed to bow our head in the name of Jesus, and this was getting a little difficult. Praise you, Jesus. But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I wanted to praise the Lord. I just wanted to lift up my voice. My experience of God's love was intensified. And I went home that weekend, and I know I was renewed. I went into my classroom. I taught in Cathedral High School, an inner-city high school in New York City. In the late 60s, very difficult time. The Vietnam War, the Black Power crisis in the cities, the drug scene. And the girls, it was all girls high school. The girls said to me, hey, sister, what happened to you this weekend? You look funny. You look high.
Oh, wow.
And you know, in the late 60s when they said that.
Yes.
And I began to talk about the weekend, but I did more than that. I began to talk about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And there was dead silence in the classroom. It was like Pentecost, you know, when it said the crowd was cut to the heart. And there was dead silence, and uh-huh, I listened.
Well, that begs the question, what are some of the common attitudes you find out in the church at large toward the charismatic renewal?
Well, I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's misunderstanding in terms of, there's no knowledge at all.
Right.
Which, after almost 50 years, is sometimes amazing to
me. Sad, yeah.
Or there's a misunderstanding. People will see the effect of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, like people raising their hands and praising the Lord, and they think, oh, I could never do that. That's just for emotional people. Well, somebody like me would say, I couldn't raise my hands either until the Spirit moved me to move into prayer. So there's a misunderstanding very much of the gift of tongues, which is a gift that is obvious at the first Pentecost, But what I heard when I was taught that was that that was just for the first Pentecost, because the Medes and the Elamites and all the others were there, and they needed to understand the apostles in their language. The problem with that is it doesn't go through the Acts of the Apostles, because when the Spirit came down on Cornelius, the reason they knew they should baptize him in water, he was praying, their family was praying in tongues.
Uh-huh.
In the Ephesians, and also in the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul came among the Ephesians, he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They were believers, they had faith, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And when he prayed with them, again, there was the manifestation of the gift of tongues. Now, you mentioned St. Teresa of Avila before.
Yes.
And I have a wonderful quote about the gift of tongues. That's Teresa of Avila. She speaks of a language that's glorious foolishness, a heavenly madness that I don't understand, nor do I know how to explain it. I believe she was talking about her experience of the gift of tongues.
Just out of curiosity, which work of Teresa is that from?
I believe that's the Interior Castle.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds very familiar to
me. Yeah. And and you don't have to just go to the saints. I remember talking to our elderly sisters one time, giving them the Life and the Spirit seminar, and that's challenging. And one of the old nuns came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Dearie, you know that language you were talking about? Well, one time I was praying, and I began to speak in another language, and I didn't know what it was." And, of course, she didn't continue it because there was no encouragement. I believe she yielded in a moment of deep prayer to the charismatic gift of tongues.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of misunderstanding of the gift of tongues. And also for mature Catholics who've been raised in their Catholic faith, there's a difficulty with what we were taught. You know, in this life, you go through the purification. And maybe, if you're very lucky, God reveals himself to you, but you probably won't experience God until you get to what we used to call the unitive way, the parousia, when you see God face to face. And so seeing people, you know, just newly converted, young people who have no background of spiritual growth, and haven't been walking the walk a long time, seeing them filled with Jesus and the power of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit becomes very difficult.
Sister Nancy Keller, I would love to talk to you for another hour or two. It's been lovely talking with you about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The event is called The Lavish Gifts of God, and it's coming up tomorrow, Saturday, August 9th, 9 to 3:30 at Trinity School in Eagan. To find out more, go to ccro-msp.org, and you can find out more at that point. The cost is just $20. Pay at the door, no pre-registration required. We'll take a look at some of the events coming up around the Twin Cities in just a minute here. This is the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you, who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Now let's take a look at some events taking place in the Twin Cities. The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life will sponsor confirmation classes for persons with disabilities ages 16 and older on two Saturdays in August. That's August 16th and 23rd at the Church of St. Peter in Richfield. Candidates must complete both classes with their guardians and will be able to receive the sacrament of confirmation at the Archbishop's Mass for Persons with Disabilities on September 14th at the St. Paul Seminary. For more information, please contact Deacon Sean or Joan Curtin at 651-291-4543. That's 651-291-4543.
More parish festivals coming up next weekend. Heart of the North Side Festival at St. Bridget, Minneapolis is Sunday, August 17th, 10:30 to 4. Attractions include a raffle, silent auction, brunch, and more. For more information, visit stbridgetnorthside.org. That's stbridgetnorthside.org.
St. Cyril and Methodius in Northeast Minneapolis host a Hispanic celebration Saturday, August 16th from noon to 10 p.m. And Sunday, August 17th, there will be great food and fun from noon to 4.
And St. Genevieve Centerville hosts their annual parish festival and chicken dinner Sunday, August 17th, 11 to 3:30. Craft silent auction, bingo, and more. Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour,
we will focus on women's ministry, and we will have Kelly Walquist in with us to discuss that.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m. on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.